Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're here every weekday morning, 10:05 to 11:30, and we're going to talk about the news of the day, what's happening in our world. We try our best here to do so looking at it through a Christian lens, and that's why I recruited these monks. Well, you're not a monk. You're married.
Yes.
You've been married and have children and grandchildren.
So that's
I don't
right.
Know where I got them. Walker's. I know he's not a monk. So
definitely not a monk.
Not a monk. Walker, married with child. So I recruited these two fellas here to help me do this. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning. I'm happy I'm not a monk.
Ed Battagliano. I never understood monk.
Monkhood?
Monk. Is that what you call it?
I don't know. Monkness.
Well, because we're supposed to influence the world, true?
Yes.
As Christians, right?
Salt and light.
So how do you do that if you're in a monastery your whole life?
Answer that one for me. I don't know. I am not a defender of monks, nor a critic of
monks.
They
would say they're trying to be more devoted to God,
yes.
Right? And stay pure.
Yes. And I would say this, that monasteries actually played a tremendous role in saving Western civilization during what's called the Dark Ages, as some arguments
right.
of whether it's
right.
because while you know foreign armies were sweeping across Europe
right.
and there was all kinds of devastation and disease, you had these monasteries in Ireland and in the British Isles. They were copying the scriptures, copying other writings
right.
from Western civilization. So those I would say probably you know played a.
But
played
other
a part.
Than that, what did they accomplish?
I don't know. I am not.
Sounds like
I don't know why I'm
wanting to get into
why
this.
Why I'm the one who has to answer.
I'm just saying.
The only monk I really know much about is the one that plays on TV.
Right, I got you.
Monk.
Got you. Your history was accurate, and they did play an important role. And I don't mean to diminish that. So please, you monk supporters, don't email and write me.
Monks who are listening.
What Ed said was true, and that needs to be understood and appreciated. Walker, what are we doing on that there internet?
Thank you for the simple question.
You're welcome.
As opposed to Ed's difficult
yeah.
question. Yeah, we're live streaming on Facebook and YouTube, both places you can watch the radio show for a change. And you can also visit our website, afr.net, and you can download the app on your mobile device. Listen 24/7.
Thousands of people listen to American Family Radio on the app. It's easy. It takes you 60 seconds to download on your phone or your iPad or similar device, and then you can listen to AFR anywhere you go as long as you have high-speed internet, clear as a bell. So we recommend that you take advantage of that, as I said, as thousands of people do. Check out our Facebook page, our YouTube page for Today's Issues, and join others there in discussing what we are talking about here on the program. Chris Woodward is with us this hour. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. I am also a big monk fan. That was actually an episode where Captain Stoudemire joined a monk. Monkery, which is a gathering of monks. I looked it up on the internet.
Wow. Monkery.
Now, he was his thing was OCD, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They made fun of his OCD.
Yes.
It was part of the show's shtick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was some funny line I remember. I obviously don't remember because I'm trying to remember what it was, but it was, you know, leave now and don't let the door hit you five times on the way out. Because he was always trying to do everything perfectly.
Right. That's funny. That's funny. All right, Chris Woodward, lead us off here,
yes,
my friend.
Yes, well, a big issue today continues to be immigration reform, illegal immigration, children at the border, President Trump
ripping children out of the arms of their parents on the border.
That's
been
it.
Down there personally doing that this morning.
Yes.
He and Mike Pence were
right.
tag team, and I saw the video. What is going on?
Well,
seriously.
Yeah, see,
it
is a big issue, yeah.
You know, it's getting to be bad PR for the president with a lot of people.
It is. And Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen tried to go eat at a restaurant last night near the White House. This happened to be a Mexican restaurant. We've got some sound of people heckling her. Roll it.
What's your sound?
Okay, so you're talking about the Homeland Security Director, mm-hmm. right? What's her name?
Kirsten Nielsen.
She's having dinner in Washington, D.C. area at a Mexican restaurant, and these people start heckling mm-hmm. her like this?
Yes. And talking about Vice President Pence, he
no borders, no walls, sanctuary for all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, what group were they from?
It's one of the radical groups. It's not Occupy. It's one of the other ones.
They're following
Democratic
her
Socialists of America.
What now?
Democratic Socialists of America.
It's an oxymoron.
They're following her around, too. That's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're her, you kind of probably be shook up by...
Imagine this. Going out to eat.
Right.
Like, honey, we're going out, you know, right. what do you feel like some Mexican tonight? And then this happens.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. These are the same type people as the Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, same mm-hmm. same They're, tactic, different name.
Yeah, I'm very critical of this. I think this is a manufactured crisis. I think it's fabricated. The reason I say that is it's not that this is not happening at the border, that being children separated from those they cross the border with. It's not always family, but it's fabricated in the sense that this has been going on since the Obama administration and even before that.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, it's hard for me to get worked up about something that has been going on. The media, somebody organized, whether it be George Soros or the Democrats, somebody organized this crisis, and the media and the Republicans are going along with it as if it's a new thing. That's my conspiracy theory for the day.
Well, I don't doubt it at all. I mean, I don't know if it's true, but I don't doubt it because this is increasingly the way the left operates. So I was watching a video this morning from Chuck Schumer in 2009 talking about how illegal immigration is a problem and we can't have, you know, low-skilled workers coming in here. We don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. That's what he said then. You have President Obama who had these kinds mm-hmm. of... this separation of parents from children during his administration, the media said nothing.
Yeah.
And listen, I understand, and some of our listeners and some of our supporters, I think Franklin Graham criticized the policy that's being executed here by the Trump administration. I understand that people don't like the thought of parents and kids being separated, but here are a number of things that we have to consider. Are these actually the kids of the adults who are bringing them? There's talk about some of these kids being trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
Once these adults get these, you know, 4, 5, 6 kids across the border, what happens to those kids? I mean, what do they intend to do?
Yeah.
If they're caught, now you have this hullabaloo over what happens to them next. But are these kids being trafficked? Are they being sold once they're here? Are these really their parents? And all these kinds of questions, what do you expect the government to do mm-hmm. with kids if the parents are going into the legal system and could have jail time? I mean, who's answering these questions? And the only thing the Democrats are suggesting mm-hmm. is catch and release. If they come here with their kids, since you can't separate them and since you can't send them back, you got to let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And that is
that's
something.
That's not an answer.
That's not an answer.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But they get away with it. The Democrats are getting away with it, so to speak, to a certain extent. Although a lot of Americans have wised up to this. You know, that's why President Trump got elected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're not ditching President Trump on this because they know what's going on here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's part of the problem is they are implying that the half of the people in this country who do not want open borders, I think it's probably more than half, but at least the half that voted for Trump during the election. But the implication is you don't care about kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to prove that you care about kids...
No, you're a Nazi.
I'm just saying...
Un-American.
This is un-American
no
Nazi.
So that if you really like these, love these kids, you love children, you love families, if you really do,
okay.
then open borders and amnesty. That's what you should be for.
Let me... One other thought on this, thing, Chris, and you feel free to... make your contribution to this program.
Right.
And I mentioned this the other day. There's two things also to keep in mind here when you talk about responsibility for the children being separated from the adults. I say children separated from the adults because you know what? We have no, short of a DNA test, we have no way of knowing if these people who have these children walk up if they're in fact their children? Or are they kids they picked up along the way? Or are they their nieces and nephews? We don't know. So the Democrats and the liberal news media just say, they're loving this, man, because what they're saying is parents, children being ripped out of the arms of their parents. Now, I'm sure separated, mm-hmm. separation does happen. I'm not denying that.
And but probably some are parents and children.
Probably some. Yeah, I don't doubt that
right.
at all. But we have no way, as you pointed out, Ed, we have no way of knowing this. But they say it as is every one of them are, and it's an absolute fact. And that makes President Trump and our government Nazis, mm-hmm. or mean-spirited, to say the least.
But this is what this is what anarchy does. When you don't play by rules, you don't play by the law, you don't enforce law, then you get situations where you have adults coming with kids and you go, I don't know if they're their parents. They've got no papers, no
documentation. They don't even speak English.
They don't speak English. How do I know these aren't coyotes trafficking kids across the border right. to be sold into sex slavery?
How do you know that?
How do you know that?
And on a serious note, I do take this
I do have my points I need to get to.
Oh, go ahead.
No,
sorry.
After you finish.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, on a serious note, when I'm saying this is fabricated, blah, blah, it's not that this is not a serious issue. I'm just saying that there are political motives here. This is not a let's keep families together issue solely. That being said, if our country is really serious about keeping families together, which I think most of us are, then let's talk about the hundreds of thousands of American citizens each day that have warrants out for their arrest, and the cops come to their house or their work and arrest them and take them to jail for who knows how long.
And they're ripped apart from their family.
And their children are left at home, maybe with a mom at home, maybe with a dad, who knows. Sometimes they have to go to grandparents. Let's talk about keeping those families together first. I don't know how that would work. Mm. But
I see your point.
This is not a new problem.
When you break the law, you run the risk of being separated from your loved
right.
ones.
Mm-hmm.
Which is my point. A lot of times when we see these pictures of these people on the border, for example, or any situation like this, you know, naturally Americans, we are a sympathetic country. We're compassionate. That's why we do more humanitarian work around the world than any other country by far, probably times three. And that's based on our Christian heritage, but that's a story for another day. Back up for just a minute, and I want to tell you, we need to focus on who's responsible for the problem, okay? Because I'm so tired of our ICE agents being blamed, President Trump being blamed, this Homeland Security woman who's serving our country. What's her name again?
Kirstjen Nielsen.
Secretary Nielsen. Mm-hmm. Can't even go out and eat dinner in Washington, D.C. without these wild-eyed freaks showing up to harass her and saying open borders, sanctuary for all, and all this mm-hmm. garbage. I got something to say to you for these people who are chanting at her and shouting her, eating dinner. Why don't you go adopt about 17
yeah.
of these children and put them in your backyard in your home, and then come talk to me about how, you know what I'm sanctuary right. for all.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that.
Right.
You're not going to do that. Anyway, here's my point. To think about this soberly and rationally. First of all, who's the first line of responsibility in this situation? I would say the fault lies with the adults from either Mexico or Central America who bring children to the border, be it their children or not, and cross the border knowing full well that if they get caught, they are most likely to be separated from those children. Now, whose fault is that? Is that President Trump's fault?
Right.
Or is that the person who consciously decides to break into our country, you know, illegally cross the border? They know full well what they're doing. That's why they pay coyotes.
Right.
For example. So I'm not saying I'm unsympathetic with the plight of poor people who need help, but if that's the only qualification for us accepting people, we're going to be flooded. Mm-hmm. By the world, and we're going to be overwhelmed. So that makes absolutely no sense. So the first line of responsibility here lies with that adult that's intentionally bringing children to the border in the first place. Number two, yesterday I was watching a Democrat congressman. I don't know his name, but he was being interviewed on the Fox News channel. And here's what he said. He was saying, you know, it's a travesty the way these children are being separated from their parents. You know, the whole liberal line here. And then he said this is a result of failed American policies in Central America. So it wasn't, this is a result of Central America's failure to govern themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was America's failed policy in Central America. What he was saying was, it's America's fault no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Huh? So even that's our fault?
That's our fault. That's what he said. It was a Democrat U.S. congressman. I think he was from Texas. And he said that the Central American folks who are coming up through Mexico, crossing our border, that's a result of, quote, failed American policy in Central America. And again, I say to you, why don't you say that's a result of corruption in Central American governments who've been this way for 100 years, and it doesn't look like they're improving? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Put the responsibility and the onus on the. It's not America's fault that they can't get their act together down there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I wanted to make those two points. Again, America does more charity, especially the Catholics and the evangelicals do more charity work in Central America than anybody. I mean, we all know people who are either down there helping Central Americans or who groups who go there on a regular basis or missions groups. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it isn't like we don't care about the plight of poor people. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And let's also look
at... I thought that was good, what I just said last time.
That was great.
I need to hear that again.
I'll clip it for you.
All right, let me reset the program, and then Ed has something very good he wants to say right here. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you'd like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. You can watch the show on our Facebook page. Just type in Today's Issues and chime in with the rest of the listeners on your thoughts on these issues. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Chris Woodward. You wanted to say, Ed?
Well, I was just going to say, let's also look at, if we want to blame somebody for this tragedy, let's blame Mexico, who either aids and abets these people coming through their own country, who I'm guessing they know aren't from around here.
And they know where they're going.
They know where they're coming from. They know where they're going. And they not only aid and abet, or they ignore, turn a blind eye. Maybe that's because of payoffs from the coyotes. Those are the people who do the trafficking and who get them to the United States. So there are plenty of people who are helping this tragedy unfold. But the liberal left, to Walker's point, because this is what they've all been about since Trump won the election, they always make everything about Trump. Mm-hmm. And that's ignore the Obama administration doing the same thing with people coming across until they changed the law and basically said catch and release. But it's all about Trump.
See, President Trump made this point, Chris, yesterday or the day before. It's either or here. You can't, it's either... Either you practice what President Obama did, and that is catch and release, see you later, basically illegal entry into the United States, and they're not coming back for their hearing. Right. So to quote, keep families together, if that's what they are, or keep children with adults, you just let them all into the country and tell them to come back for their hearing a year from now. We all know how that goes. So that's basically an open border policy.
Right.
Okay, in essence, that's an open border policy. So either you adopt that. This is what President Trump was saying yesterday while everybody's trying to shout him down and call people Nazis and stuff like that. It's either that or you do what we're doing now, and that is process people if they enter our country illegally. And if they're adults, you don't throw the children in with the adults. Can you imagine if you did that? So you got adults who are being processed for entering our country illegally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll say they're being processed. You can't, when you process somebody for doing something illegally, you don't say, okay, kids, follow me down the hall.
Yeah.
Okay, kids, come. You don't do that. You have to separate.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. So they know this. So it's an intentional exploitation of the system. So you make people decide either separate the, quote, families, or you let them all in and let them go. Those are the two, if those are the two choices you've got, you see what I'm saying here? Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I do want to point this out for people not aware of this. President Obama himself in the not too distant past actually told people and children not to come here because it was unsafe. This is from 2014, clip two.
Our message absolutely is don't send your children unaccompanied on trains or through a bunch of smugglers. We don't even know how many of these kids don't make it and may have been waylaid into sex trafficking or killed because they fell off a train. We have no way of tracking that. So that is our direct message to the families in Central America. Do not send your children to the borders. If they do make it, they'll get sent back. More importantly, they may not make it.
If President Trump said that, they would say, this is the voice of Hitler.
Right. Yes.
Wouldn't they?
That's right. And that's why I go back to what Walker said. There are forces behind this.
Right.
When you said it doesn't make any sense for us to just say anyone who's poor come to our country.
Right.
I agree, except it does make sense if you're trying to destroy the country.
Yeah.
If you're the George Soros types, if you're the type that want to end our constitutional republic, then you bring it to its knees through any means possible. And you use people. I'm not even blaming the poor people for the schemes of those behind it. But you use them to overwhelm the system so that nobody had. So we're all poor eventually.
Yeah.
Right.
Which leads to government control of everything.
And leads to revolution.
Yeah. So Dad talked about the responsibility lying in the adults who are crossing our border illegally. Ed talked about the responsibility of these countries who are wasteland. They're poverty stricken and they're doing nothing about it. The governments are corrupt. They're not stopping people going to their country illegally coming up to the U.S. The third or fourth layer of responsibility lies in the U.S. Congress, because this is not a new topic. I mean, this goes back decades. So this all being said, President Bush, and I don't know whether it was a Republican or Democrat led Congress, but nonetheless, President Bush, the second Bush, passed a Secure Fence Act, I think it's called, back in 06 or 07. Well, they built, you know, some miles of the border, fence or wall, whatever you want to call it, but Congress quit funding it, and they haven't fixed it since. So we have essentially an open border down there, and President Trump wants a wall so we can stop this flow, and Congress hasn't done anything.
Well, ultimately, I think you're right. George Soros, the liberal left, the progressives, they're behind this, at least they're exploiting this. Their objective is to flood the United States of America with illegal people from Central America and or Mexico, and at some point in the future you legalize all of them, and then the Republican Party as we know it is dead.
Right.
That's the ultimate objective here. President Trump knows this.
Sure.
And the Republicans, Paul Ryan and those others, should know that's what's going on here. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
One of my favorite things to do in Israel is take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be taking our annual tour of Israel in March of 2019, but it's time to sign up. We have a lot of folks sign up early, and last year, in fact, we filled up several months in advance. So for all the information on this trip to Israel, a bucket list trip for most people, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure, call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your phone number. We'll be flying direct from the States to Tel Aviv and then begin our tour in Jerusalem of Israel. We hope you can join us in 2019.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. To say there's been a coarsening of American discourse would be an understatement. The other day, a congressional intern screamed an obscenity at President Trump in the halls of Congress. That same day, members of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus yelled at the president. Homeland Security Chief Krista Nielsen was chased out of a Mexican restaurant by screaming Democratic socialist. And there's been no shortage of Hollywood celebrities spewing profanities that would make Quentin Tarantino blush. We have truly become a potty-mouthed generation. It's no wonder the New Testament reminds us no one can tame the tongue, an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Maybe we should follow the advice of Tyler Perry's Medea. If you don't have anything nice to say, it's best if you just put the shut to the up. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Abe hadn't heard it. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're listening to American Family Radio. We thank you, as always, for listening to AFR. Fred Jackson, our brother and colleague, is recuperating from his heart attack that he had last Thursday. And he will be, he used the expression, he looks forward to be back in the saddle. He looks forward to being back in the saddle. Personally, I don't use that expression because I don't like to be on a horse.
Well, you don't like to be in the saddle in the first place.
No. And nothing against horses or horse people.
Right.
But I love them. It just, they're not from, horses and Tim.
Don't mix.
Horses and Ed.
They don't mix.
Okay. So, I mean, that's just the way some.
One time I was on it, he turned around and bit me.
See there?
And people say, how come you don't like riding horses? Because well, one bit me.
Right, right. You had a bad experience, bad experience as a youngster.
If I got on a taxi cab and the guy turned around and bit me,
you?
I wouldn't get
right.
back in taxi cabs.
Right. There's nothing personal.
Right.
Against the horses?
I feel like this is a therapy session.
Well it is in a
way. I need some healing.
I'm just saying back in the saddle is not an expression I would use. But Fred used it. And he said he's looking forward to being back in the saddle or back in the studio with us on Today's Issues as soon as possible, probably in the next 10 days or so. Abraham Hamilton III has a program each afternoon at 5 o'clock on American Family Radio called the Hamilton Corner. And he joins us most Wednesdays when he can. He's a constitutional attorney and public policy analyst for us here at American Family Association. And husband and father. How you doing, Abe?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tim?
I have to admit, I get a little confused. I was listening to Abe on the way home.
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So we've got Hamilton Corner.
Yeah.
We've got the Hamilton Report and the Hamilton Minute.
Yeah.
What's the Hamilton Report? What is that?
I don't know. What was the Hamilton report? Didn't that used to be a little 1 minute thing? Wasn't there a Hamilton?
No. Hamilton Corner. It's always been a Hamilton
Corner.
It was
the Hamilton Corner. We changed the name because once I started doing the program on AFR,
okay,
the 1 minute segment had the same name as the program. So we changed the name of the 1 minute spots to the Hamilton Minute.
Okay.
So it's not to be confused with the Hamilton Corner.
Sounds like you're threatened by the amount of time Abe has on AFR.
I am Abe's biggest fan. I am just saying, at 59 years of age, I can't remember all the names of the programs.
Yeah.
So it's Hamilton Corner.
Hamilton Corner.
And Hamilton Minute. Okay, I think I can handle that. Because you got Minute, that'll be the short one, right?
That's right.
Okay. I'm good to go.
You done?
I'm done. Okay.
All right, you finished.
Hey, good morning to you, Abe.
Good morning.
Abe, the listeners the last half hour heard what we're about to play already, but we're going to play it again so you can listen to it. We were making a comparison about the way the liberal news media in particular handled the Obama years when from time to time a crisis on the southern border would arise. And it would make news for a while, and President Obama had what we're about to hear. This is what he said. And what year was that?
It was 2014. And Sandy had the audio this morning as well.
President Obama said this from 2014. Listen to this.
Our message absolutely is: don't send your children unaccompanied on trains or through a bunch of smugglers. We don't even know how many of these kids don't make it and may have been waylaid into sex trafficking or killed because they fell off a train. We have no way of tracking that. So that is our direct message to the families in Central America. Do not send your children to the borders. If they do make it, they'll get sent back. More importantly, they may not make it.
Go for it, President Obama. That was great. And I've never said that in my life.
You just did.
But I just did because that deserves commendation because he's absolutely right. Am I right?
You're right.
Counselor?
You're right.
Okay. Now, if you were to put his words, if President Obama got this clip and they wrote down everything if President Trump got this clip and he had somebody write down everything President Obama just said, and he said that today, what would happen, Abe?
He would be excoriated. He would be excoriated. Hillary Clinton said the exact same thing.
Chuck
Schumer said the exact same thing. It's unfortunate. And, you know, doing this, it's kind of hard not to get calloused. But it's important that we don't allow ourselves to get callous. And I think that the reason why there's such media furor about this is because no one would celebrate children being ripped away from their parents. But the unfortunate reality is that it's not happening the way it's being reported, quite frankly. And what is happening is not novel. It's not new necessarily.
Right.
And so you get some people who want to launch off into a tirade attacking President Trump. And then when they learn that President Obama shared the same sentiment, they say, it doesn't matter where it started. We just need to. And it's like, wait a minute. It mattered where it started when you thought it was President Trump. But now that you know it wasn't exclusively President Trump, now you want to say it doesn't matter where it started.
Okay, Abe, I want to ask you now, what is a biblical or a Christian response to this situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in the Apostle Paul talked about having zeal, but according to knowledge. You know, and on my program earlier this week, I talked about emotion. God has given us emotions, right? But emotions, they're terrible generals, but they're wonderful foot soldiers. The scripture tells us to set our affections. We don't allow our affections to set us. So understanding the role that emotion should play, we should not allow our emotion to overwhelm and consume our ability to rationally consider what's actually happening. And so then when you add into the facts that nations and borders were not our ideas, they're God's ideas. In Acts 17, he talks about the Lord establishing the boundaries of our habitations, that the Lord is into having boundaries and also understanding that government is an entity of God's creation. Literally, to bless those under the government, we have to understand we can balance our compassion with understanding that we have to preserve the rule of law. And so I would suggest that the best route to respond to this would be, of course, we express compassion for those who are suffering when we have evidence of that suffering, but we don't allow our compassion to move us over into where we become advocates for lawlessness. And so understanding that the legal framework concerning the immigration status currently can be addressed in Congress. I know Ted Cruz has already proposed legislation to address the issue at the southern border. The appropriate tact would be to balance our compassion with our understanding that preservation of the rule of law is in lockstep with a biblical ethos.
Now, that which you said, that emotions are terrible generals, but excellent. Did you come up with that?
Yes.
Because that's, I'm going to.
I thought
borrow,
about it. I thought of it.
I'm going to borrow and or steal that.
A couple months ago.
That is really, really insightful.
I like that. And the thing is, some people want to have cold, calculated analysis, and I don't think that's the track either. I don't think we need to abandon emotion completely.
Right.
We need to make sure our emotion is targeted appropriately, which requires us to get all of the facts. Like, for example, lots of people talk about that these are Mexican children. Well, no, it's not. The law for Mexico and Canada is if they come to attempt to cross our border illegally, they're automatically deported. These are children from Central America, not Canada. So then you have the next question. Well, these are people that are just coming to ask for asylum. Well, you have the understanding that the way that asylum works with our country currently, the law provides for you to make an asylum request at the first U.S. consulate where you have safety. So if you have people coming from Central America, which means they're coming from, you know, areas south to Mexico, you would think that are you safe to apply for asylum in Mexico at the U.S. consulate there? If they make
or
the
Mexico.
Appeal.
Why did Mexico take these folks in?
That's another
question. They're coming right up through the heart of the country on the train.
That's another question. But leaving Mexico for the moment.
Yeah.
If you make the asylum request in Mexico, the State Department would then transport these people from the U.S. consulate to America.
If they're granted asylum.
If they're granted asylum. And if Mexico is not safe enough for an asylum request, you come to a point of entry in America. And a lot of people don't realize that if you make it to a point of entry and make an asylum request, you are legally not described as an illegal alien. You are legally referred to as an asylum seeker, and you are not arrested.
Let me just say this. The reason these folks are not encouraged to do that is because they're not really seeking asylum. They want entry into the country illegally. If they were seeking asylum and were in danger in their home country, they would do just what you said.
Yes.
But that's not what they're being encouraged to
do. And this is why the Secretary of Homeland Security, Kirstjen Nielsen, said, if you're seeking asylum, don't violate our laws and attempt to enter our country illegally. But what's happening is that people are rolling the dice, attempting to gain access to our country by illegally crossing the border, then upon arrest, saying, oh, I am seeking asylum. Because, as Kirstjen Nielsen said, that many of the people that are coming to our country, they know the loopholes in our immigration law better than many of the Congress people.
You got something related?
Well, yes, sir. There is a story. I sent this to you guys in the Google document. But a Guatemalan mother, this is from USA Today, a Guatemalan mother who crossed the border illegally in May with her 7-year-old son has sued the Trump administration, accusing officials of forcibly taking her child away as punishment for coming to the U.S. to seek asylum. My question to you, Mr. Legal Counselor, is this. If you break the law and you admit to it, you own up to it, and you try to sue somebody for something that happened after you break the law, does that just, I mean, should the judge just automatically throw that out?
You would think so. You know, if you would have asked me this question maybe 2 years ago, I would have probably had a more affirmative response.
Oh, okay.
But in this day and age where you have judges superimposing their opinions over national immigration policy and being allowed to do so, it's a strange new world. But the fact that you have broken the law to come to the country, which illegal entry is a misdemeanor, illegal reentry is a felony, which means that you've come to the country illegally, been arrested and deported, and you come again illegally. It's a felony. When you commit a crime, and this is the thing that galls me. Y'all know I have a prosecutorial background. If you have an adult who commits a crime and their children happen to be in the car while they're committing the crime, the police are not going to take the child to jail with the adult.
Right.
I mean,
they should, though, to keep them together.
Yeah.
That's the example that he's making of letting people's emotions be the general.
Right, exactly.
So the sheriff's deputy rips the children away from the parent who has to go to jail?
Yes.
That's awful.
And the underlying reality in this conversation is that we have people who are advocates for open borders who want to say coming to the country should not be a crime in the first place.
Right. And, you know, they love putting these pictures up with these children in these chain link fences. And we were talking about that this morning. If the children weren't being in chain link fences and they were just free range walking around, then the liberal media would say, look, they don't even contain these little four-year-olds. They're walking anywhere and everywhere.
They can walk out onto the street.
But now they go, see, look, they've got these people in fences like they're animals. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't win with this situation.
Right.
Go ahead,
hey, long-term here, talking a 50-year game strategy, this is going to work against all Americans. And how I say that, and then I'll let you comment.
What's going to work against all Americans?
This open borders strategy by the left is going to work against, in a negative fashion, both the left and the right and every other American citizen. And
ultimately,
here's why.
Okay.
Because we all have hearts of compassion, at least most of us. We all want to help people. But if we don't have a country and our country falls apart metaphorically and maybe physically, whether it be law and order, financially, et cetera, because we're taking in everybody, then how are we going to keep helping other countries when we can't help ourselves?
And you're right. A weakened America weakens the world.
It's kind of like you know, you heard the lifeboat. I mean, you put one too many people on the lifeboat, it sinks and nobody's saved.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? All right. What are you going to be talking
about? Well, let me add this in the conversation, too, because people are not talking about this. When the adults, and I'm saying adults, not parents, because not all of the adults who are with the children are their parents.
Right.
That's a whole other conversation. When they arrive at the border illegally and they are detained, they have the option to submit to deportation, which would allow their family to remain intact if it is, in fact, a family.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. They have that choice?
Yeah. What the choice is this. You've been arrested illegally. You're charged with the crime of illegal entry, which is a very quick process. If you will plead guilty to that, you and the minor who came with you can be deported rather immediately.
Within a matter of days.
Rather
immediately. Yeah. The reason why the separation occurs is that upon detention, the adult then requests asylum.
The adult abandons the children on purpose.
And the American law says that the minor cannot be kept in
custody. I don't know, Abe. I have not heard that from the mainstream media. I don't see how that could be true.
You know what else you didn't hear from the mainstream media? That Hillary Clinton would lose the election.
Right. Hey, I just wanted to make it clear. A couple of our listeners, Amy, asked if we could post the clip of President Obama's statement. And so we are going to do that, right?
Yes.
I've already posted a RT. Is that Reuters?
Reuters.
I posted a Reuters article which has the video on Facebook.
Okay. Thank you.
You mean about President Obama?
Yes, sir.
So President Obama told in 2014, correctly, he told the people of Central America, do not send your children here. Don't. It's dangerous. And we can't account for them, and they're being, you know, so if President Trump said the same thing, which he has, basically, he gets ripped to shreds for it. Nobody said a word when President Obama rightfully gave that admonition to the people of Central America. Abe, this afternoon, 5:05 Central Time.
5:05 Central Standard Time.
The
Hamilton Corner.
What are you
going
to be talking about?
You got to watch. You got to come and listen to find out. I'm not going to give it away this morning.
Okay, 5:05 this afternoon, Central Time. 5:05 Central Time. Abraham Hamilton III will host the Hamilton Corner. Thank you, Abe.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a great show.
Okay, thank you. Well, we are. Thank you very much.
In all humility.
Yes. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Walker, and Chris Woodward. Chris, what's the next topic to talk about?
All right. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley put the South Carolina smackdown yesterday on the U.N. Human Rights Council, saying, we're getting out of the U.N. Human Rights Council because you're biased and you protect abusers. This is clip 3.
We take this step because our commitment does not allow us to remain a part of a hypocritical and self-serving organization that makes a mockery of human rights. We could have withdrawn immediately. We did not do that. Instead, we made a good faith effort to resolve the problems.
Hey, I say Haley for president.
I think it's going to be, you're not going to be alone in 2020. There's going to be, 2024, I guess.
Yeah, president.
Trump that decides to run again.
Yeah. She's the UN ambassador. Mm-hmm. And am I the only one who says it's about time?
Have a woman president.
Well, I would vote for her.
Well, how many on the left are going to be going, we need the first woman
president?
Oh, yeah,
if she's the candidate.
If she's the candidate.
No.
But this point here, the point here is that this is a, okay, we're a part of the United Nations, obviously. And in the United Nations, there's what's called the Human Rights Council. And I think this is the council that for decades, when they start naming the members, you get all these countries that are just rank violators of human rights.
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and you're just, it's a joke.
Afghanistan.
It's a joke that this, so what Secretary of State Nikki Haley, excuse me, UN Ambassador Nikki Haley has said is we're getting out of this. Now, we're not participating in this anymore because it's a cesspool of political bias against Israel and the United States. And I think what prompted this was the UN Human Rights came down on America or issued some kind of statement against the U.S. for not letting everybody in on the border. And she said, basically, she said, all right, I've had enough. We've had enough. We're out of here. We're not going to participate in this joke of a council
anymore. When you got
anymore.
Saudi Arabia and countries like that in the Middle East who won't even take in, they won't even create a place for the Palestinians. You know, everyone's talking about we want a one-state solution, two-state solutions. None of these Muslim countries are willing to absorb the Palestinians, and you're not just going to cross the border into Saudi Arabia and just say, hey, listen, I like your country. I'm coming in.
Yeah. Asylum.
Asylum. That's not going to happen.
Personally, I wish we'd just get out of the UN altogether.
Yeah. Everybody listening to this show right now that pays taxes funds the UN.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just, the bias, obviously, it's worse than bias. It's antagonism and other things that these people have. Contempt. They have contempt for the United States, and they hate Israel. They hate Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the UN promotes abortion around the world.
Yeah, right.
They promote homosexuality around the world, and we're funding 25% of that.
Yeah,
right.
And they support a globalist agenda.
Yes.
No borders.
If we're not going to get out the UN, at least stay there and be a thorn in their side. And I think that's what Nikki Haley's decided to do. And I'm sure she's on the phone.
She is courageous, too.
I'm sure she's on the phone with the president often saying, hey, I'm about to do this. You with me?
Yeah.
Or am I with you? And I'm sure he's giving her the thumbs up. Go ahead.
I mean, she is fearless. She's made speeches and like right back at you. And we're not going to fall for that. And we're standing with Israel.
Sure.
Yeah. Fearless.
Just to build off some of the other members, the Heritage Foundation, which does not see eye to eye with the Trump administration when it comes to tariffs, they do point out, they actually say the U.S. makes the right call to quit the UN Human Rights Council. They say currently 14 of the 47 members of the Human Rights Council, including Burundi, China, Cuba, and Venezuela, are ranked not free by the Freedom House. But they're members of the UN Human Rights Council.
No, is Iran a member of that council?
It does not include them at the moment, but I'm sure at some point in the past it has.
They were on there in the past, and that is just outrageous. Cuba on the Human Rights Council.
China
been on there a while.
China forcing women to have abortions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this.
Yeah,
that's why
that we're out of that. It's a joke.
I'm watching the Fox News headlines coming across the screen here, and it looks like President Trump is at least hinting that he's going to do some kind of executive order on this immigration issue, the fabricated issue that we've been talking about. I don't know what solution he can do except catch and release, unless they set up apartments for the families.
Either that or you string the National Guard down on the border. That's a long border.
Well, you know what he said a couple of days ago. We'll see what happens here. I don't know about an executive order.
Me either.
I think this requires a congressional approval, action to resolve. But And I think that's why the president went to Capitol Hill yesterday. But what were we talking? What was it? What would you mention before?
Well, the executive order he's considering.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see that. But what he did say a couple of days ago is we're not going to create, what did he call it, where you have camps on your border, basically, like you're having a, remember you, when you have a war and you have refugee camps? But he basically, that's what he, we're not going to create migrant camps all along our border, you know, where you're housing by the thousands. You know what I'm saying?
Tell me that doesn't look like anarchy and chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he said we're not going to have that, not on his watch.
Because that's what they're having in Europe.
Here's
according
to... why Merkel's about to lose, probably.
This is according to Fox News. At least they're getting a glimpse of what President Trump might sign today, and that is the action under consideration, this is directly from Fox News, would allow children to stay in detention with parents for an extended period of time. Tell me how that's going
to
go.
So they go to a holding place with...
But that's what you're talking about. You're talking about internment camps where the parents, where the adults can stay with the kids, and then the parents are processed with the, you know, with the kids nearby. I guess that's what happens. And then what, you know, whatever you do to the parents, the kids got to... So you're going to be deported. Well, your kids are going with you.
Abe just said, I didn't even thought about this. Abe just said, the person who comes here illegally, if they in fact have children in tow, they can choose to be deported back to Mexico,
right? But
to their home country and keep the family together,
right? Mm-hmm. But they've been trained to come across and ask for asylum.
Yeah.
See, this is when we talk about someone's behind this.
Yes.
These people. Now, the whole way this is laid out is these are poor people who just. So I'm guessing a lot of them are illiterate, okay? And they're being told if you are caught, immediately say you want asylum,
gotcha,
because then you have to give you a hearing.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Okay, so they're doing that.
It's a lie.
And so they can't then say, well, I want to be deported. So this is backfiring on these people.
But if you want to keep your family together, if you're going to, first of all, you don't travel to the U.S. illegally if you want to keep your family together and then potentially be separated because the male is processed as a
right.
But secondly, you don't if you're given a choice to be separated from your children, if they're in fact your children, or deported and keep the family together, choose deportation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's if you really care about keeping your family together.
Right.
But as Walker said, this is all manufactured. A project of the by manufactured, I mean the whole
outrage.
Yes, and it's trying to, the whole point is to try to make President Trump look bad, hurt him in the election, and to flood our country with people who are here illegally, which is not good for our country. And you know, at some point, the people that come here from those other countries, Central America or Mexico or otherwise, they need to stay home in the countries they were born and raised in and solve their own problems, create a better country for themselves and for their children instead of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's not America's fault that we have corruption in Central America, despite what this Democrat congressman said. That it's because of America's failed policy that these folks are coming here. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.